But the problem before was that there were no report writers because the information was never in the database. Before, you were working with some huge Excel spreadsheet that didn't give the variances that we needed to see. And now we will have those. And this is like the first reports that have come out, and I'm really, really appreciative of Lynn and Efren who have like made this thing happen, and that they've done something that I've been asking when I was on the board initially, and they were ready to do it. And the business managers too, you know, all of these people, I don't know if I told you guys, these people are professional. They were waiting to do these things. And when I talked about moving the clothes from the 20th of the month to the fifth working day, and I was saying we could do it by June, and they told me, no, we'll have it done by April. So these people are like professional. They have like strong accounting and finance backgrounds, and they're really ready to make this thing work. And so basically, I go back to the results, I think is what we should look at.
Good.
Initially, and that's just from the report that I've given to you. Did I hear a question?
No, I just said good.
Okay. So basically, you know, I can just go over and looking at the results. We have year to date, and we have my reports are kind of varied here because I have year to date reports for all stations plus the national office and the radio archive. And if we look at revenue, actually,
By the way, we should clarify. I think the name of this sheet is Jan 2009 by stations and budget correct.
That's a little appellation I put on there. Yeah, this is correct.
With a one in parenthesis after correct?
I don't think so, no.
That's probably generated by your computer, Grace.
Oh, yeah, that's
fine. Oh, okay.
But that's the correct file if everything else matches.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair? Susan?
Yes,
just a quick question. It's for the 4 months ending January 31?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, and again, this goes into the whole closing and closing the books on the 20th of the month. It takes a long time to get these reports. And when we get to the month, when we get to closing on the fifth working day of the month, then, you know, we'll have our results, and we'll have our report writer. We've used it a lot by then, so we'll be able to spit out our reports. So then we'll get the reports, like, by the middle of the month, or even, you know, or either by the end of the 10th working day for sure, if we can get the close done by the 5th. So that's what we're shooting for, and that's what the business managers absolutely bought into. So if you look at, again, for the first 4 months of the fiscal year of Pacifica Foundation, if the revenue, total revenue was $4.7 million, and the budget was about $4.7 million, so we're really about right on, we believe. From this report, again, I think there's a $29,000 difference in here, but we're about right on in terms of revenue generation. So, and if I go to the reports and I look at information by station, I'll have to pull it up on my report here. I think that the report writer is not actually capturing the budget. In fact, it hasn't captured the budget on the stations there. But again, the revenue, so in terms of Pacifica Foundation in total, for the first 4 months, we're right on revenue.
This is line 129, right?
I'll have to go.
40? Line 40?
Let me go.
I believe it's line 29. That's $4.7 million in revenue.
Mr. Chair, I believe it's line
30.
No, you want revenues pre-central service. That's line 29.
I thought you were saying post.
And again, let me just point out this revenue pre-central services. This report, the way it's written, you will not see this next month. That this to actually include a central service fee as a revenue and add that to the revenue above is what you call double counting revenue. And that's frowned upon. So in the next reports and also in the next audit report, you will not see that. This really doesn't really mean anything. And what this is, and what, you know, I've talked with the staff here and with the business managers, And what you'll see is like a transfer, intercompany transfer, and then it'll, the elimination will be at the bottom. It will not be up in a revenue and central services fees line, never again. Because this doesn't, because again, you know, just basic, you know, there was revenue of $4.7 million. And then there were transfers to the national office, or PRA, of about $600,000. But that $600,000 is the revenue that you're earning from listener support. So,
right.
Okay.
Like, that will not be done.
We understand.
So, internal.
I understand.
Mr. Chair, just for me to understand. So, in other words, the $600,000 already included in the $4.7 million?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Because the stations took that money in, and that's counted on line 9.
Four. Yeah.
And it shouldn't be counted again as more revenue.
Income.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay, thank you. Okay.
Okay, Ben, just briefly, you know, so you see the revenue by station, and I can give you, again, because of the report writer still isn't pulling up the budgets correctly, so by station, I can just tell you briefly on looking at KPFK, this shining example here, for the budget and the revenue for KPFK for the first four fiscal months was $1.2 million, and the budget was $1.1 million. So they actually exceeded their revenue by over $100,000. So and that's the report that will be pulled up out of this report once we fix the glitches in there and get that to pull the information. And then what we'll show you
actually,
the revenue compared.
Varn, if I could interrupt, I think that information that you're referring to is on the other tabs here. The tab marked KPFK shows its revenue at 1.178 and shows its budget at 1.060, and it does show a positive variance of about over 100,000. So it does.
That is on K. See, I'm looking at.
It seemed like it did capture the budget there.
Okay, I'm looking at. Okay. Well, good. Good. I'm looking at a different sheet there. I'm looking at my total sheet, and I'll look at the other sheet here. So, yeah, we have like spent a lot of time doing this, so that's good. Okay. So then, just to go from there. So on revenue, then we'll see the Pacifica Foundation for the first 4 months. Actually, we're on you know, we're on budget. So, and then you look at total expenses. Look at the major expense categories. We can look at salaries and related expense. The total was 2.7 and the million, and the budget was 2.5. So we're over 200,000 worse than planned on salaries and related expense. And this I see that with the national office, the reductions actually started taking place in October, November. So any reductions in other stations that were outlined, perhaps those have not evidently kicked in. Because we're 200,000 worse than budget, and so if we just go down to other major expense categories, we are running administrative expense. See that the reports aren't also again there's some little glitches. They're not actually reporting, but that's right. That's correct. We are about 54,000 worse than planned. Expenses were actually better than planned by about $32,000. Development expenses were also better than planned by $85,000, but you know that's not necessarily better than planned. That's just that we're lower than budget because in terms of what development expense can do for us. And then if you look at the total budget, total expenses for the first 4 months, we were at $5 million, and the,
okay, folks, this is line 163. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and the budget was $4.8 million, so we're about $150,000 actually worse than budget on expenses, and that
short.
Right, and then we go in. So I'll ignore this line here because I ignored it at the top, and. What we have, though, is again, so the income the income was the net loss or net for the first 4 months was actually $234,000. Let me just look at this.
You know what, LaVarne, you might want to check those formulas because the variance column doesn't add up.
That's what I'm looking at. Like, that's what I said. Some of the numbers might not be quite correct because we have here the income at is like about $400,000. Right. Well, this is correct. It's $381,000. The budget was $457,000, so we're $75,000 worse. But then I'll just stop there because the central services fees, that's something that I'll have to check. But again, for the foundation, in net income is, well, actually, you know what, I'll go down to the bottom because actually we should include the central services since they actually have it up in revenue. So then for the full year then, for the fiscal year, a year to date, we're $234,000 worse than budget. And the budget was actually a negative number, $131,000, so we're only about $47,000 worse than the budget.
That should really be $100,000 worse than the budget, right?
Okay, let me add it up. Okay.
Yeah, the variance column's out of whack starting around that point all the way to the bottom.
We can fix that. That's not
fine.
The main things are year to date actual and year to date budget. I mean, you can do the difference in your head. We're about $100,000 behind the budget.
Exactly, worse than.
We're supposed to have $234,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, the numbers, the signs are not correct there. But this is what we're able to do to try to spit out the reports. We have to get all the little glitches out, get the signs going in the right direction, and then we'll have also the information by station so we can look at that to see the performance. And then we actually ran a balance sheet, but the balance sheet we don't have it set up yet to do comparison to the prior month. Because when you just look at a balance sheet, it really doesn't mean anything unless you're comparing it to prior quarter, prior month, to see what the changes are. And this is a sheet that we'll send out with the variances on this too. And the other thing that I can talk to is that we also do we look at cash at the end of the month. And so we have a report there. And I know last meeting there was concern about, I think Brian had expressed about KPFK and meeting payroll, but with their starting their fund drive and their fund drive, you know, bringing in over $1 million, you know, there's never a danger of that happening, particularly in this case. But let me just tell you that I would like to point out what's happening with BAI, and you can see that BAI's performance.
Vaughn, can you tell us which document we're supposed to be looking at now?
Okay, let's go back to the same document that I initially went over where I gave you the total, the year to foundation.
Okay.
So if we look at BAI and
go to the BAI tab.
Right, on the last page of the report for the consolidated.
Okay.
Got my little numbers going right here, 200. Okay. If we look at the consolidated report, we see that for the first 4 months of the year, BAI's revenue was $872,000.
Okay.
Their expenses were $1,072,000. So that's $200,000 worse than their budget. So that means that they had a net loss for the station of $200,000. So again,
LaVarne, can you tell me where you see this $200,000? I see the revenues on line 22 of the BAI tab, and then the $200,000 number is all the way at the bottom.
Right, it's right below the total expenses.
134.
It's line 165, I believe, on the consolidated. Don't go to the WBAI tab. Go to the consolidated.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Line 165.
Okay.
Okay, because let me just look at the...
Yeah, we're mixing up the word tab and column here, I think.
Yeah, column. There's a BAI column in the consolidated sheet,
But Laverne's doing a budget comparison. We want to be on the tab.
Yeah, in order
that's
to compare
the budget
to the budget,
okay,
you have to go to the BAI tab.
Okay, see, the BAI tab, again, we have to look at the, like I said, we have to look at the budget to make sure that it did transfer over correctly.
I think that it did.
The budget was, okay, we have the budget of, okay, we go to WBAI's tab.
Yeah, my impression is that this budget is correct.
Okay, so it shows a loss of $315,000 for BAI for the first 4 months of the year. The budget actually showed a loss of $72,000. So, you know, the message here, I mean, the message here, you look at the numbers that if you lost $300,000 for the first 4 months, you multiply that by three. And, you know, that's almost $1 million. When you start talking about plan updates, you know, this is critical. I mean, you know, I'm you know, the numbers I'm giving you, you know, this is just a fact. But, you know, it's critical, and that there's definitely a need for some changes in terms of generating revenue. And again, as someone had mentioned, in terms of decreasing costs, most of your costs, in fact, I had a little pie chart here showing their costs. As far as salaries, I think we're about 42%, and the tower rental and space was about 20% or something like that. They did a nice little tab on that. But that shows you where, again, here it is. Their tower office rental in their budget for BAI was like 23% of their costs. Salaries were 40%, and so the salaries and the headcount, you know, there's in terms of the cuts. I'm not sure what has been implemented. That's another discussion. But that's what their expenses look like. And if you look and you compare WBAI to the other stations where there's tower or office rental, you know, their rental is like 72% of the total. So, you know, if you look at areas where their costs are definitely driving their expenses, and you look at their expenses compared to the revenue that they're generating, there's a serious problem there. So in the other stations, if you look at it, you know, KPFA actually is...
Laverne, can I stop you before you move on for 1 second?
Oh, Brian, please.
I don't want to mess you up, though, so...
Oh, no, you're not messing me up. I don't write a script for this. I'm just talking from the information I have.
Just a couple things on BAI. I would be cautious about just multiplying the first 4 months. It looks like there's a mismatch between the months that BAI's CPB money was budgeted in and how it's being accrued. That's about $68,000. And it also looks like the accruals aren't syncing with the budget on tower rental, because that's about $90,000.
Right.
Of your bottom line deficit.
Right. For January, for the ended month of January, but for the next month, we will have all of actually the tower rent was accrued. Let me just look at the number here. But there are.
It looks like it was accrued, but not budgeted for the right month.
Right.
So you're coming up with a negative. I mean, I just can't imagine they didn't budget the right amount of tower rent. It's a long term contract.
Well, yeah, the yearly tower rent is somewhere in the $300,000.
And you have that $150,000 variance on salaries, which had been reported to us, and this is only orally, as the cost of doing salary reduction late, about 6 months into the fiscal year. As opposed to doing them in a timely fashion. I don't know if all the reductions have been done, but if some of that amount's one-time expense, you're not looking at $1 million deficit. You're looking at some deficit.
You are, because if you start looking at the revenue and the revenue they achieved in their fund drive, you know, they came in, I'm sorry, they came in at what, about five? I don't know, with the numbers for BAI, does someone have that offhand?
Well, then, the current drive did come in a bit low, but, you know, by $150,000.
Exactly.
However, I think I do agree with Brian that, you know, we shouldn't draw too many conclusions from this sheet.
I mean, this is what the rebudgeting has to address is
Because, you know, the other part of VAI is that if you start looking at, like, the central services, that, you know, it's the expenses are there. Some of there are some central services that we're holding at the national office that we haven't transferred to VAI. There's another, you know, we're actually at the national office, we're doing the benefits. I think at the end of January, we had not transferred the benefits for the month to VAI, so that's to be done. So there are a number of other expenses that we're holding here that we will do in the month of March. That's why there are some positive things, but there are some negative things here at the national office. So that's what we currently have with VAI. No, there's this. You have to look at this, and you have to look at the revenue. I mean, in terms of the shortfall for this past drive, and the fact that the drive lasted for 28 days.
Yes.
James, is it near?
Could Paul say something here?
Pardon, let's see. Yeah. Do we hear our Paul? Well, first of all, how should we do this, folks? Let's see, LaVarne, how much more would you like to present to the committee verbally, and how much?
You know, because
I would like to give people that time for questions.
Okay,
but,
well, the BAI, in terms of their P&L, at the end of the first of year-to-date P&L is what I really wanted to point out. That the other thing I can just kind of like touch base on is like at PFW, actually they were usually in the past. I know they've always like had positive net income. They've had net income, but this time they've had a net loss. And some of the expenses there, we will. You know, there are some legal expenses, in fact, that are in their are in here also. So just taking note of the stations where there is there's a net loss versus a net income, and that
so you're looking at the WPFW tab now.
Well, again, I was just looking at the summary, but yeah, we can go to the WPSW tab.
She's in somebody's driveway.
Oh. Whoops. Yeah, the tab does show that.
The numbers are the wrong way.
It indicates there's a PFW is $100,000 or more behind the budget.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
20% of budget.
And KPFA is also, but you know, there's usually no concern about KPFA in terms of making up any shortfalls in revenue. Well, you know, in terms of a concern with the national office, because there are other reserves, and the whole position that was taken before, but was in terms of having reserves. Like I think it was like I'm not sure what it was left with 2 months or 2.5 months of reserves. KPFA has that, so the only thing to look at is the fact that there is a net loss, and that's one of the reasons we are asking for and know that there's a need to have a plan update. So that's basically what's the information that I wanted to give, and that also we do at the end of January, there's a unrestricted cash in bank report that's done for each station, and the total for Pacifica is $1.1 million.
So at the end of January, we had $1.1 million unrestricted cash in bank bank account.
Right, and PFW, you know, does have a cash in bank cash. So at the end of January, so you know, but there's still a concern about certain legal bills that we expect to get billings on.
This is Grace. I'd like to ask a question.
LaVarne, could I ask you if you could forward that cash and bank report to us?
Sure,
at some point?
I'll get it.
Doesn't have to be right this instant, but I would like to see it.
All right.
Okay. It's on the balance sheet, Jamie.
Ouch. Oh,
so it is? It's one of those things that we have?
Yeah, it's
the
unrestricted cash and bank. It's the top line of the balance sheet you sent out.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I haven't opened it up yet.
Yeah, let's see what we have here.
Okay, well then, I don't want to... So is there more that you'd like to report now?
No, that's basically it.
Okay, well, then why don't we open the floor for... questions. Grace, did you?
Yeah, I have a question.
We had a stack. Let's see. We had I heard Arpal's voice. I heard Grace. Was there anybody else that has a question?
Yes, Campbell.
Campbell. Okay, so we'll start with Arpal, Grace, and Campbell.
Okay. Can I ask that for how this is done? I'm having a hard time following it because, one, we got this just for the meeting. And so can I ask that when people are referencing things that tell us what file they're in and then what tab and then the column and row so that we can follow it, because some of it I'm dashing back and forth and I'm not sure I'm getting everything.
Oh, okay. We can do that.
Now, just a very fast clarification. In the variance columns, like I'm looking at the WPFW tab, and it's cell K17, shows a variance of 167 grand.
That's not correct.
That should be parens, right?
Right. The signs are not correct. Like
okay.
I said, we're still going through here trying to make these things right.
Right. Okay. The other thing I wanted to say was question was asked in terms of BAI cuts. Extensive, serious staff cuts have, in fact, been implemented at WBAI. They took effect, I believe, November 15th.
Okay.
And so they're and BAI is paying out severance and all of that. Some of the severance, I think one or two people are taking the severance in chunks as if it were a salary. And so that's being paid out over time. And,
right.
And that's part of why WBAI isn't supposed to be doing central services, because we're supposed to be paying down the severances. And then in April, when all the severance is supposed to be, we're supposed to start.
This is very important. There's like crinkling on the call.
Yeah, if there's any, if people are doing something that could create noise, could you try to mute yourselves or not do it? Or there is a noise which makes it hard to hear our Paul's comments.
Yeah.
Could you start again?
Okay. What part did you hear?
That the actions were taken on November the 15th, and the severance has been done on a pay period basis, or it's done a lump sum, or I couldn't understand that.
It's both. Most people got the lump. Some people have opted to basically get it a chunk every 2 weeks. It helps some people to do it that way. And so it's supposed to all be done by April, at which point BAI is supposed to again resume paying central services. I will point out that it's reported that BAI did, in fact, already kick in like 85 grand of central services ahead of time to help with certain emergency bills. And so the question of the cuts, they've absolutely been done, and wow, it shows. The other thing is our rental stuff. Now, I don't have the exact figures right in front of me, but I've done this before. So the tower rent is on the order of about half of the total rental.
Right.
And we have had discussions with people, and BAI space is probably not going to get cut in half, so we're going to be paying that for the rest of the year. But the thing is, we have to keep in mind that although if we can do something about the one of the rentals, it will only be the 120 Wall Street rental. The tower rental will always be kind of pricey because it's at the Empire State Building, which is, a really good place to have your antenna in New York City. So in terms of rental and stuff, we have to keep in mind that we probably really, really, really want to keep the antenna at Empire because, among other things, it's easier to deal with having an antenna consortium than running your own antenna all alone. So I just wanted to communicate that. All right.
Okay, thank you, Arpal. Let's see. Next on the stack would be, I believe, is Grace, and then Campbell.
Well, talking about the leases in at WBAI, the tower rental is $325,000 a year, I believe, or something around that number, and the office space rental is $250,000 a year. John Kriegler, I am in possession of the office rental lease, and John Kriegler just wrote in that note that he would charge 1 hour to review it to see if there's any clauses in it that could get us out of it or where we could sublease or whatever. And I think that that would be well worth it because we trust him. So I'm not exactly sure how much he charges per hour. It's not within his the parameters of his contingency we pay him to be our FCC attorney. But I will go ahead, if this, unless there's objections to that, to have him reviewing the office rent, the office lease, I'm sorry. The other thing is I think we need to be seriously concerned about WPFW because their shortfall, their budget is much smaller than WBAI or KPFK or KPFA. So adjusting, resolving close to $170,000 budget shortfall in just the first 3 months is going to be really difficult for that station, and that station is going to have to do some really serious restructuring.
No, I've got chips in the car.
So I think we need to not also concentrate on WPFW as well as WBAI.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Grace. Then let's see. Next up was Campbell.
Yeah, I'm trying to work through the through this. This is for the first quarter, right? Ending January 31st.
It's the first 4 months. The quarter ends. The quarter ends in December. October, November, December. January is the first month of the second quarter.
Okay. So you've got a year to date is January 31st, and quarter one is December 31st, right?
Right.
And I see all the current variances are zeros.
Campbell, which sheet? I'm sorry. Which sheet are you looking for? We actually sent out a few, and there's some that are better than others.
Yeah.
What's the title of this sheet that you're
looking
at?
Well, I was looking at the BAI, and also on PFW, I saw the same thing.
Is this in? What's the title of this file? Does it have the name correct in it?
Oh, this is copy of January 2009, 1 Station A.
Yes.
I think that one's a little funny, and I think I sent you one later called Jan 2009 by Stations and Budget Correct.
Oh, okay.
Let me make sure I see you on that list. That one, you know, LaVon pointed out there were some issues in getting the getting the software to correctly make reports with
the budget
right.
Correctly.
You had one with a 2 that you had sent?
Let's see here.
The one to look at is the one that Jamie said. January 2009, by Stations Correct.
Yeah, this was the most recent email I sent to you, Campbell, at 9:12 Eastern. I can send it to you one more time. I'll send it to you right now.
Let me see.
Because those other ones are a little goofy.
By Stations and Budget Correct, XLS?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one.
That helps a bit, I think. And okay. Take me a minute to get it open.
Okay, sure. What can we come back to you then?
Sure.
Okay, then I'll call on myself.
Jamie?
Alberto, would you like
Nidia,
to be on the stack?
No. Nidia has been trying to get on. I don't know if we'll allow her to talk.
Well, I figured that once everybody on the committee spoke, we could let non-committee members speak unless somebody has a problem with that. Let's see, LaVon, my concern was with the WBAI sheet. My quick check of the listener support number in the budget is correct as far as I have, so I do believe this is the correct budget.
Can I interrupt for 1 second, Jamie?
Yes.
When we had our business manager meeting, the first thing we did was ask each business manager to send us a copy of the budget that they were using. So that's what we did. so that's good that it's the same number that you have.
Yeah, I copied the, I looked at the numbers from the what we passed in DC.
Right.
You know. So that this does appear to have the right budget in it. And as Brian has pointed out, the it's odd that the budget seems to budget the arrival of CPB income oddly, in that it budgets half of it in
the
budgeted, first 4 months.
It budgeted CPB as cash, as the two cash disbursals you get during the fiscal year, but you book it as monthly accruals. So you're going to have until, you know, you're going to have a variance there every year, but every month, but 2 months during the fiscal year.
So then if we subtract what the budget says, 187,000, if we subtract the actual 119 from the budget, which is about $70,000, there's probably some of the deficit at the bottom line, $70,000, can be explained away by that, right?
Yeah.
And then the other issue is the tower rent seems to be entered strangely in the actuals. The budget seems to be correct. My understanding is the tower rent is around $350,000. So it makes sense that the first 4 months is 110, which is about one-third of that.
Right. That one is correct. It's the office space.
No, but the tower rent in the actuals, we've supposedly paid we've accrued expenses of $203,000.
It looks like it's budgeted correctly, and maybe they made a payment that was late by a couple days, and instead of accruing the expense, regardless of payment, which is what you're supposed to do, waited until they actually cut the check to book the expense, so it landed in the wrong month.
Could you walk me through that one more time? I didn't quite understand.
Well, basically, what the business manager should do each month for the rent and the tower is to accrue the expense. If you don't have the invoice, or if you have it and you haven't paid it, you should accrue it to show that expense in the month. So if that's not, that should show the expense in each month to show the correct expenses for
the
month.
And even if you pay it early, you shouldn't accrue the expense until the following month.
Put it on the balance sheet and then reverse it in that month. So that's the discipline that you have to do with the tower rental and with the office space also.
So if they're doing cash accounting instead of accrual accounting on that expense, you can be off by a month easily.
Okay.
Either forward or backwards.
A month should only be $30,000, I think. Something like that. Well, anyway, it's interesting to note, but what it seems that there once again is there's a variance there of $90,000, which might not really reflect a problem. Is that correct?
Let me find her sheet here on the budget, or it should be there.
It seems, because I don't believe our tower rent has changed unless there was a back bill that suddenly got booked in this year and didn't get, that seems a high way to do it.
I see what you're saying. The budget looks really low. The expense looks high. Oh, no, the budget looks right.
The budget looks right. It's the $350,000 per year, or $330,000 per year.
Right, so, okay.
Anyway, what I'm just trying to do here is figure out what are the variances may be kind of artifacts and not represent a real problem. So I figured $70,000 from the CPB and $90,000 from this. If I remove those from the total bottom line, which is a deficit of $317,000, we can bring that down to a deficit of $157,000 versus the budget, which says we should have a deficit of $71,000, which means that we're about $80,000 worse than the budget, not $245,000 worse than the budget. That's just my back of the envelope try. You know, I'm interested in we are, at our Paul and I are very interested in assessing, I guess the rest of you are too, assessing exactly how well BAI is doing. It seems that a fair assessment would be that there's something like 80,000 behind the budget.
Well, let me ask you a question. Because also they have their utilities for the office and the tower. So how does that, can you give me information?
I can't. Maybe Arpal can.
Is that part of the, is that just separated into two parts, or is it part of it, or is it totally separate from the?
Well, okay, Arpal can give a little bit on this. Of course, they're two separate different places. WBAI is paying the utilities. It's done separately. You know, the 120 Wall Street utilities are one thing. The utilities from the Empire State Building are, in fact, charged by the landlord. The landlord gets the electricity in at the bottom of the Empire State Building at a certain price, and by the time that electricity gets all the way up to the 86th floor where our transmitter is,
wow,
it's become more expensive. So, you know, as it rises, it gets more expensive. And so, you know, what happens is the landlord charges for the electricity at their own lovely rate. So the landlord not only charges and makes money on the rent, the landlord charges for the electricity and makes a nice margin on that, too.
Oh,
so that's
man.
A big part of what happened. Again, it's the Empire State
yes.
Building, and, you know. And also, could I just add, on the year-to-date and all of this, we were told that BAI, as of February, WBAI had not paid the January and February rents, and that we were going to be paying those rents out of the money coming in from the bond that just ended. So for this thing, for these considerations ending January 31st, is this absent the January rent?
I believe it is.
Well,
oh,
it should be accrued regardless.
It was accrued.
Yeah, this is accrual accounting, Arpal, so the rent will be listed as an expense, whether or not it's
okay.
Right, but I'm not sure if you know, we can let me.
How do you get so much over?
Well,
ooh, easily.
It's okay. If you look at, I have your little chart here that you did for the plan, but it combines both tower and office on the expense. So the total I have here is 707. So if you separate the two,
that's both rents plus the utilities.
No, that's just office. That doesn't include the utilities. It's just tower, office, rent. And I don't think that includes, well, maybe it does. Does it include the utilities, the 707?
Well, let me check.
Okay.
I'll take that back. Let's see here.
But I think to your question, Jamie, the point is WBAI is worse than budget, but not as bad as it looks on first glance.
Yeah, I was trying to get a sort of a rough estimate there, and I came up with $80,000. I don't know.
And you have to quantify the amount you're out of whack from doing those salary cuts late, because my understanding is BAI has cut its salaries down to the budgeted level, but your year-to-date is going to show you over because it didn't do it until a ways into the fiscal year.
Yeah, my back-of-the-envelope calculation there was about $30,000.
The issue is that you're not going to make that target of cutting your office rent in half come April, and that you're not meeting your fund drive goals.
Yes, yeah, so but one can add on to that $80,000 or $50,000 deficit, whatever deficit comes in from the current drive, plus whatever shortfall is due to the not being able to cut the rent. I admit that it's not a pretty picture.
It really isn't. And I think as Grace had pointed out, you know, PFW, we have some concerns there also, particularly in terms of the fund drive results and the expenses and potential expenses, legal expenses.
Mr. Chairman?
LaVon, let me just finish this and I'll call on you, Alberto.
Sure.
I have for fiscal 2008, we paid a total of $679 for tax and rental, just the rent. That doesn't include the utilities. The utilities added on another $75,000 in each location. Okay, Alberto?
Yeah, just a quick comment. You know, and the way things are looking, I don't think the national office will be able to bail you guys out.
Is that correct? Would our ICFO agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. That's true.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Exactly.
Are there any other comments from committee members or questions? Because we have a guest here who would like to ask a question.
Susan, I've got a question.
Okay, go ahead, Susan.
And it may be more appropriately under priorities for NFC, but I would like to hear an analysis from the ICFO of the payments that we are in arrears to vendors.
Sure.
And hear a cash management plan for priority of payments.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. Do you want to, let's see, now where do I have my agenda here?
It may very well have been more appropriately under 4, cash management, prioritization, and contingency planning, but it's having the balance sheet in hand with the $1,000,001 in unrestricted banks, and I'm wondering what the priority claims are on that cash.
Well, let's see. Why don't we can have Nia ask her question. We can close this item, and then we can proceed directly to that question, Susan. Would that make sense?
Sounds good.
Does that sound good with everybody here? Oh, I have one more question for you, Lavarne. When will you be able to send us the, I don't know, when might be a tough question to answer, but do you plan to send us fairly soon revised version of this document with monthly breakouts for the station?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do is go and look at the reports. I think at the end we were able to pull it up, and we just had this variance of very small amounts. So, yes, so then we'll be able to redo the reports. We'll redo them tomorrow, and we'll try to get them Wednesday. We'll get them out by Thursday afternoon.
Okay, well, thank you, Lavarne. Okay, then Nia?
Yes. In terms of the shortfall, LeBron, I guess Brian could remind me just in case I'm forgetting. That came up also in L.A., and what happened is the fund drive straddles the fiscal year ending 08 and starting 09. So $125,000 of that shortfall, I think, I don't remember correctly, and having problems with my email, that Tony Riddle sent us an email during the meeting saying that I think $25,000 that should have gone to 08. Brian, do you recall that?
Tony did take that position in his email. I went through the numbers, however, and the listener support accruals matched almost exactly what WBAI reported raising per drive. But I don't think that's correct. The other points he raised were some of the things Jamie and I covered, the salary cuts being deferred but actually made, being a one-time variance, the CPB accruals being somehow mismatched, and I think this rental thing still has to be unresolved. Those things all do combine to make your income statement look a lot worse than your actual performance. But I don't think the fund drive straddling, at least to my glance, the fund drive straddling fiscal years does not contribute to that.
Well, it should be. I guess it would be good to have Tony further explain it, but that's my recollection from being in L.A. I mean, no matter what it is, you know, it is short, but it would be less short if we get more accurate information.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. The Nia's question is: Tony, our GM at BAI, made a point that there might have been income that actually arrived in 2009 at the station due to a drive that took place in 2008 might be somehow added into 2008 receipts.
No, I think it's the reverse. It's that the fall drive started earlier than planned in September, which is in fiscal year 08, so that income was accrued in the prior fiscal year instead of this current fiscal year.
Where it actually arrived.
Right, it just hit the books in a different year. I mean, that's his argument.
Chairman?
Okay, I would actually rather, I would hope that we can wrap this up shortly so we can move on to the other item. Okay, I'll
just quickly, you know, from my chair, it would be, if the fund drive happened, you know, in, you know, 2 months before the end of the fiscal year, if all of that money was spent by the end of the fiscal year, it has no impact on the current year. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Alberto. Okay, so if there's no objection, we shall move on to the next item here and get back to Susan's question.
Mm-hmm.
And that next item is, first, thank you, LaVarne, for your report. The next item is cash management, prioritization, and contingency planning. And then I'm going to let Susan ask her question.
Yeah, my question is goes to who do we owe money to, and are we in arrears, and what is our plan for bringing ourselves current?
For me, LaVarne, you know, we talked about the tower rental, and any other issues about any bills that are outstanding and that are in arrears, I would really like to take that to a closed session.
You got it.
It definitely involve legal matters, so I'd rather...
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, you see, people, this is actually an important... This is the next agenda item, and if it's more appropriate for closed session, we do have a closed session notice for this evening. I would suggest that we end the public session now and we go into the closed session so we can deal with this question in the detail which it merits.
Question?
Yes, Alberto?
Are we going to come back to a public session?
No, not this evening.
Hopefully,
we'll only be on the phone for another half an hour.
Once we hang up, that's it. We're going to the executive session and...
Yeah. Does everyone here have the code for the closed session?
Brian here.
Yes, Brian?
I just want to move that we hold our next meeting on March 24th.
Okay, there's a motion to hold our next meeting March 24th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, our next meeting will be March 24th, 8:30 p.m.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Alberto?
I have mentioned it before to you, and
yes.
I will mention it again to the committee as so that the public that are listening to us might hear this particular point. And again, I'm sorry, but I firmly believe that nothing of the National Finance Committee should go to executive session. And with that, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
I am not in favor of going to a private phone call when it has to deal with national finances.
Okay, thank you, Alberto.
And I will raise this point again.
Yeah.
Okay, is there any objection to joining and going to a closed session?
Question, when did you send out the numbers for that?
I sent it out at... I sent it out at, 1:39 p.m.
1:39, okay, I've
I can send it one more time.
No, I have one from 1:39. Okay. And it has a different code. I see it. Okay.
Yes, it has a different code.
I move to go to executive session.
Okay.
From 1:39, or you mean 10:39?
1:39. I sent it to you later, though, Campbell. I sent it to you at, let's see here. When did I send it to you? I'll send it to you one more time.
Brian here, I have one other concern that can it can carry over to the next meeting, but I just wanted to raise it so people can chew on it. When we're pressed for cash, a lot of our stations extend drives, and there's some point at which that does more harm than good. I don't know exactly what it is. But we might want to start thinking about creating some kind of uniform network policy that establishes a point beyond which you should not berate your listeners with fundraising.
Is that you, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can add that to the agenda for next meeting.
Yeah.
It's a different item, and it's not on our... I mean, I agree it's an important issue, but it's not on the agenda.
Yeah.
So, but it is a good point. So we'll add it for the next time.
Mr. Chair, this is Susan.
Yes.
Because there's been an objection from Alberto about going into closed session, I suggest we vote.
Okay, let's see. So the motion is to close the open session and move into closed session. Mr. Chair, can you to adjourn the open session and move to closed session? Not Mr. Chair, Mr. Secretary, can you take the roll on that motion?
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Because we said we were holding over discussion of unpaid bills to executive session.
Yes.
Is there pending or threatened legal action on any of them?
Well, I do remember last year. I'm taking last year as a guidance. We did discuss some issues of not being able to pay things in closed session. So, and our ICFO has indicated a preference. Perhaps we can see how this goes, and if it seems that it didn't really need to be in closed session, we could not do it again and report out and get our guidelines straight. But that's why I thought that closed session would not be a bad thing for this evening.
But we did report out publicly the amount we were in arrears on bills. I didn't agree with every closed session call that happened last year, but if someone's raising an objection, I think, you know,
well,
hold things in closed session when they're legal personnel or pertaining to a pending contract negotiation.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Campbell?
Yes. It seems to me, and I was just hearing it, the standard reasons for a closed session are specific personnel matters, a legal litigation, usually pertaining to property.
Arbitration.
And if it's outside of that, it's really not as far as I know, a valid basis. And there must be, are the issues that you would discuss in either of those three categories?
You could probably make them into one of those three categories. I don't have the discussion items. The indication was made by someone else that she would rather discuss it in closed session. And then last year we did discuss these items in closed session. So that's what I'm going by. But anyway, we had a motion here to close this meeting and go into closed session to take up this matter. So, Paul, could you call the roll?
Okay. On going to executive session, Grace Aaron. Brian Edwards Teeker.
Abstain.
Sherry Gendelman. Campbell Johnson.
No.
Alberto Alwera.
Point of information, sir?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, just quickly, yes is to go to executive session.
That's correct.
No is not to go into executive session.
Yes, not to adjourn the open session, to go to executive session.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Summer Reese, Jamie Ross.
Yes.
LaVarne Williams.
I'll pass. Try my last.
Susan Young.
Abstain.
Okay, going back to people who were here but didn't answer. Grace Aaron. Okay, hearing. Sherry Gendelman. I don't think Summer Reese was here, but I'll hold Summer Reese again. Okay, coming back to LeVarne Williams.
Yes.
Okay, I have 3 yes, 2 no, 2 abstentions.
Who was the third yes?
It was R. Paul Martin, Jamie Ross, and LeVarne Williams.
Oh, I thought
no, Campbell Johnson, Alberto Luera, and abstaining, Brian Edwards Tiekert, and Susan Young.
Okay, so LeVarne passed first time and then yes the second time.
You know, this is LeVarne. Can I just make a comment?
Well, let's finish the vote.
No,
so, our poll, the vote, the motion passed.
Yeah, let's go to the other number.
Motion passes 3-2-2.
Okay, LeVarne, do you need to make your comment, or can you hold that?
I think I told a couple people this. I really do not like to vote in the National Finance Committee, because when I was on the committee, I really didn't think that the staff should have a vote. So I will try not to vote at all in the future, and I'll just abstain. But with this item, I think that what I need to say, I can, yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
All right, let's go to the other number.
Sure.
Okay, thanks, folks.
Okay. See you soon.
Mm-hmm.